Open your Bible real quick to 2 Kings. You got it? So the man of God, Elisha, is the prophet after Elijah. This story is about him, but before I get to that place, that's why. I'm doing this without notes, and I'm doing this without notes on purpose, because I want to make sure that we impart and teach you some things tonight, but I also want to make sure that the Holy Spirit, that I don't let the Holy Spirit get blocked by me reading my notes. So this is what I need from you tonight. Number one, I need your full attention. I want you to get this, okay? So this is not the day that you communicate with your buddy, all right? I really want you to pay attention to this. There is a difference between truth and lie. And 100% of the time, information falls in one of the other categories. 100% of time, information lands either in the truth column or in the lie column. There is no in-between column. Okay? So the world would tell you that that's a little bit true, or you can tell a white lie, or that's a gray area. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. It's either truth or it's lie. And to be communicated otherwise is to set you up for failure. Because if you're communicated that there's a negotiation between truth and lie, then you'll start believing stuff like that might be true, or it's sometimes true, or I don't know if that's true, or he maybe, maybe not. You know, God saves, but maybe he doesn't. You know, God will protect you, but maybe he won't. You know, you'll start believing all kinds of squirrely stuff unless you grab a hold of the fact that information, revelation, anything that comes to you either falls in the truth category or the lie category. You have been created beautiful. You are never ugly. Never. Never ugly. Even when you wake up in the morning and your hair is everywhere and your breath smells like the kitty litter box, you are still beautiful. Amen? Now, that's a hard pill to swallow for some people, because you've been convinced that sometimes I look good, sometimes I don't. Well, that's because you're judging yourself on the wrong plane. You're judging yourself by the wrong standards. God's standards says you are always beautiful, and you're either going to use his standards or you're going to use the world's standards. Amen? Amen? Now, you can amen that, but do you go home and practice it? Do you live like that? You should live your life in a way that says God is always true. Let God be true and every man a liar if it comes down to that. But I'm always going to err on the side, and I'm never going to err, but I'm always going to land on the side that says that God is true. Now, the reason I start off explaining, that's a whole nother sermon that we're going to get to in about 3 weeks. But the reason I started off by saying that is I want you to grasp that, because you need to understand that the enemy's job is to convince you that a lie is the truth. And the way he does that is he uses your flesh to make you feel something, and then you call your feeling truth. Because you've been conditioned to trust your feelings. You put your hand over a fire. If it burns, that means fire is hot. Right? Right. Well, fire is hot, baby. That's the truth. That is the truth. All right? But you've been conditioned to trust your flesh. And because you've been conditioned to trust your flesh, when you feel like God is far from you, or you feel as though something has attacked you, or you feel sickness, or you feel heartbreak, or you feel something within your flesh, you call it truth, when in fact it may not be truth. The enemy just knows what you will trust. And he will take what you will trust and pervert it to the point to where you call something true that is not true, i.e. true love. He loves me. I feel it. Whatever. Whatever. That ain't true love. True love looked like the love of Jesus, but that's another story. Don't forget, Valentine's Day is on Saturday. I bless you with that. All right. So let's get back to this. So there's a difference between truth and there's a difference between lie. The enemy's tactic is to always use feeling to let you or to persuade you to dictate truth based on what you feel and not based on what the word says. God says stuff like you are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, the first and not the last, but you feel broke. My bank account says I'm broke. My pocketbook says I'm broke. But God says I'm above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail, lender and not the bar. What am I supposed to lend people if I ain't got no money? And then you start believing stuff like, oh, I'm just poor. I'm broke. There ain't no way. There's a reason why I didn't tell you how much spring retreat was while we were on the stage. I needed a moment to build your faith. I need to take a minute to build your faith. How many people going to spring retreat?
Yes. Yeah.
How many people waiting until I tell you how much it is to decide whether or not you're going? Oh, ye of little faith. You don't make decisions like that. Because, well, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to have the money. You call things that are not as though they are. The Bible says you can call things that are not as though they are. Jesus calls things that are not as though they are, as though they are. And he said that just as I am, so are you in the earth. So you ought to be able to call things that are not as though they are. You want to go to spring retreat? Use your faith. Doesn't matter how much it is. $6 million. Well, baby, I'm going to have $6 million. I'm just going to write y'all a check. Y'all just wait on it. Hold on. My daddy paying for it. Just wait a minute. Now, how many people going to spring retreat?
Yes.
How many people still waiting to figure out how much it costs? Bless your heart. We're going to build your faith too. All three of you. Everybody else like, you ain't got sense enough to not raise your hand now? So the word calls a spring retreat, $80. Not that bad, exactly. T-shirts for spring retreat are 10 bucks. You don't have to buy a T-shirt to go. That's totally up to you. See? Everybody like, oh, my faith can go get $80. I can get $80 for me and my homegirl. There you go. Then bring her too. All right? Truth versus lie. All right? Now, the man Elisha hears from God to the point where he is able to discern the tactics of the enemies of Israel, even while they're being conceived by the king. This is our text, okay? He hears truth from the mouth of God, not based on what he sees, and is able to let the king of Israel know, hey, here's what your enemies are going to do before they ever do it. Interesting how I can tell you that the enemy is going to attempt to use your flesh to convince you of a lie so that you will act on the lie and take the lie as truth and never step into your true calling because you're too busy dealing with the lie. The man Elisha was able to recognize the tactic of the enemy, just like I'm able to recognize the tactic of your enemy, and tell the people of God what was going to happen before it ever happened because he listened to truth. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. You're going to come in here, get pumped up, sing the song, the God of angel army is always by my side. And then you're going to go home. You're going to go home and you're going to get in your bedroom and Satan's going to come in and you feel any angel armies around you? I don't feel not one angel army. I don't see no wings, no nothing. Nothing. Like I didn't even feel no wind, nobody flapping, nothing. I don't feel nothing around you. Nice. So he surrounds everybody else, but he may not surround you. Maybe you don't feel it. Do you feel it? Maybe you just don't believe it. You know that's wrong. Look at science. Scientific evidence says that there's no God. Look, don't you read those things? Have you ever watched National Geographic? You evolved from an ape. Don't you look, you poke your lips out. See, you look just like him. It'll start telling you stuff like that. And you'll start to believe, yeah, I don't feel no angel wings either. There ain't no wind or nothing. It's still in here. And you're right. That ape kind of does look like my cousin Bobo them. And you'll start believing stuff. You'll start believing stuff. Why? Because the enemy just took a lie, packaged it in what looks like truth. Like it's not really Cheerios, it's Oreos, but you like it, but you're gonna buy it anyway because it's $3 cheaper than a box of Cheerios. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all act like y'all don't shop at Aldi. Anyway, you can package it as though it was the truth and then try to sell that to you, and you buy it every time. So the man of God tells the king in Israel, the king of the people of God, what their enemies are going to do before he does them. And he tells them, look, these people are encamping about you. The Assyrians are encamping against you, and then the place that they're encamping against you. And so the king tells the people who are going to that place, hey, watch out, the army is going to attack you. And they save themselves by listening to the truth of the man of God more than one time, is what the Bible says. They have a strategy against the armies that are going to attack them, their enemies who are attacking them, and their strategy against the enemy who is attacking them is to believe and listen to truth. Now, watch this. Go to verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14. Therefore, verse 12. And one of his servants said, 11. This is what happens when I don't have notes. 11. This is so good, I got to get it all. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by these things, and he called his servants and said to them, will you show me which of you is for the king of Israel? Which of you is a traitor? Which one of you been selling my secrets? And then a dude stands up, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. The secret words that you devise and plot against the people of God, the prophet hears the truth from God and he tells the king of Israel even what you say in your bedroom. Like you didn't even announce it, you didn't talk to your generals about it, but the stuff that you whispered to your wife, he tells the king that. How do I know it's his wife? Because the King James refers to it as the bedchamber. The same way it refers to the bride and the groom go to the bedchamber. I ain't gonna teach on that tonight. Just calm down. I saw some of y'all get red in the face. Oh, Lord. It is Valentine's Day. Pastor John lost his mind. Verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is that we may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. That word surrounded there is a Hebrew word which means to surround something in the act of war, getting ready to destroy it. It's the same way that an army would surround an opposing army in order to destroy it. We're talking about a prophet. This dude ain't got no guns, no nothing. He's a prophet. And he hangs out with a group of people called the sons of the prophets. They prophets too. So an army, mighty army, is dispatched to go and get a dude that is a prophet. And they go and find where he is and they surround him. Say surrounded. Surrounded. Have you ever felt surrounded? Have you ever felt like your enemies, like everything you do, you were being attacked by the enemy? Have you ever felt pressure? Like it was pressure to do the things of, of evil. Like you just felt like you were being tempted on every side, and your enemies were surrounding you and pressuring you into an activity or a way of thinking. It was like you were trying to live for God. You're trying to do the right thing. You're listening. You're studying. You might even download a podcast or two, and you're listening and you're studying and you're plugged in and you're reading your word. But for some reason, it's like the devil won't leave you alone, and you're surrounded and you feel that pressure. See, when you're surrounded, you start to feel like it's over for me. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything right. You don't believe me? Check this out. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding, say surrounding. Surrounding. Oh, come on, seriously? Surrounding. All right, good stuff. Surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" There's a reason why that surrounded gets a response. The first surrounded is like an army that is getting ready to destroy another army. That second word surrounded is not the same as the first word surrounded in Hebrew. The second word surrounded means they were surrounded to the point to where they couldn't get out. So the Bible goes an extensive way to tell you not only were they surrounded by an army that had a military mindset that was going to destroy them, but they were surrounded and there was no escape. Have you ever felt like there was no escape? Like it, no matter how much you read your Bible, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you go and do the right things, it almost seems like you keep falling back into the same sin, same temptation, same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again until you are ready to give up. Or maybe some of you have said before, "I give up." Surrounded people give up. You don't see any escape. Any natural way out of the situation, you will throw your hands up and give up. So when you sing songs like "The God of Angel Armies is always by my side," do you really know what you're talking about? Because what you're saying is, no matter how much I feel surrounded, the God of Angel Armies is by my side. Angel armies. Why is that significant? I was listening to the guy who wrote that song, and he wrote that song in a time where his wife was sick, and he woke up one night, and they had been praying for her healing, and he woke up one night, and the Lord just gave him that song that says, "You know what, I don't care how bad the situation gets, I serve the God of angel armies, and he's always by my side." See, some of you have felt this kind of pressure that I'm describing to the point to where you have said, "I'm giving up," or to the point to where you said, "I'm just going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to show up at church. I'm going to put on my church face. I'm going to smile real good, or I don't really want to be here in the first place, but my parents come, so I'm going to come anyway." But that pressure still hasn't let up off of me, and I don't feel anything. And since I don't feel anything, I'm not going to respond in any way. I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to express myself, because I don't feel anything, and the only thing I feel is the surrounding of my enemies. Now, I didn't come to beat you up. I actually came to encourage you. Because what Jordan was telling is a story of spiritual warfare, but it didn't seem very warfare-ish. Right? Dude won't wake up. He's breathing real hard. We just gonna pray for them. Ain't gonna lay hands on them. Jesus, we just pray for them. Lord, have mercy. We invoke healing on them right now. We take hold of his healing in Jesus' name. Amen. And they're getting ready to go back to bed. And the dude wakes up. Sometimes it's not about the big event. Sometimes, and Creflo Dollar said this, I love it. I love it. I just made it my way of life. Creflo Dollar said this: spiritual warfare is not about obtaining anything. It's about maintaining what has already been obtained on your behalf. You don't have to obtain your healing. You don't have to obtain deliverance. You don't have to obtain victory. You don't have to obtain anything. All you have to do is say, I take it, it's mine. And even when I'm surrounded, the God of angel armies has called me victorious. Yeah. Some of y'all can't shout at that because you're like, oh, how does that work? Let me show you how it works. Verse 16, read it again. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots to the point where they can't get out. And his servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Some of y'all done came to the altar going, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Check out verse 16. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That sounds like some junk Pastor John might say to you. Yeah. Baby, it's going to be okay. God loves you, and angels are encamping around about you. And I can say that and smile. And you like, that didn't do not a thing for me. I said, you don't understand. I was expecting you to come beat some people up. You don't understand what I'm going through. Elisha responds to him with, hey, don't worry about it. There's more with us than there are against us. I'm sure the servant went, poof. Do you see him? I don't see not one horse or chariot in us or with us or around us. And them jokers is for real. They for real. They coming to get us. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What was surrounding him was surrounded by what could not be seen. Amen. Now, some of y'all didn't get the gravity of that, so I'm going to say it again. You ain't got to amen it, but this, I want you to get it. That's why I told you, pay attention to me. Put phones away. Don't be doing nothing else. Watch this. Pay attention to me. This is how you find victory, okay? Pay attention to me. We're teaching tonight. This is how you find victory. This is how you keep yourself from going, God can't do it. Okay? Okay? This is how you shake yourself out of the crud that you're stuck in. This is how you find victory. Watch me. Look at me. What had been surrounding them when he prayed and his eyes were open, he saw that what had been surrounding them was surrounded by heaven. Do you believe what you say you believe? Let God be true in every man, every situation, every circumstance, every problem, every attack of the enemy, every devil in hell be a liar. Do you really believe it? Because if you really believe it, what you'll get a revelation of is what you think is surrounding you is surrounded by something much bigger than it or you. You don't believe me? The rest of the story says that Elisha, they came down to attack, and Elisha spoke a word and said, God, strike them with blindness, and they all got blind. You want more evidence for some of you logical people in here? Jesus made a statement. Do you not think that I could pray to my Father and he would put at my disposal over 12 legions of angels at his disposal. I'm going to share something with you about an angel. Hebrews chapter 1. You don't even got to go there. You can just listen to me. And you can go there if you want to, but it's up to you. Hebrews chapter 1. Man, y'all go ahead and make your way back up. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says this, talking about angels. Are not all ministering spirits, which is what an angel is, are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Who will inherit salvation? You. Does Jesus need to be saved? Who needs to be saved? You. You inherit salvation, which means the purpose of angels is to minister on your behalf. The Amplified Bible says this: are not all angels, all ministering spirits, servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who will inherit salvation? Angels belong to you. Their job is to minister on your behalf, to work on your behalf. And if you think an angel is a cute individual with wings, you're wrong. Angels primarily are not female, they are masculine, and they are very military. They're not little bitty things. Those are cherubims and seraphims. Those are different creatures. We're talking about angels. Who God dispatches to wipe out cities and kill folk and do his bidding. He dispatches to punish wickedness and turn back armies. He dispatches them to whoop butt. That's their job, is to whoop butt on your behalf. So when you sing songs like "The God of Angel Armies," you need to have a revelation of what you're saying. You're saying that every day, everything I do, right by my side, get up, come here, right by my side is an angel. He's just walking with me and talking with me and telling me what's going on and how you doing. And I see stuff and I'm like, "Lord, deliver me from that." And he like, got him. And he's just walking and just walking. And God, I need prosperity. Now, here you go. Hey, that's all yours, Lord. I need deliverance. He's like, "Wait a minute, watch out, huh? What y'all gonna do, huh? Come on, come on." That's what an angel does. You can sit now. Now, I want you to watch this. Jesus said, I can put 12 legions of angels. Who's got an iPhone? Somebody got an iPhone?
Right here.
Give me a kid with an iPhone. You got an iPhone? Go to your calculator. Come sit right here. What's your name? Caden? Yeah, what's your name?
Caden.
Hey, Caden, I'm Pastor John. I ain't never done met you before. What's going on, man? You good?
Yeah.
Praise God. How you doing? How old are you?
12.
12 years old, 13. You good at math?
I guess.
Turn your iPhone that way. It becomes a scientific calculator. You're going to need some space where the numbers go. Sit down. 12 legions of angels. A legion of angel, a legion has about 6,000 in it. That's what a legion was. About 6,000 soldiers. Type in 6,000. Now, watch this. So 6,000 times 12 is how many? That's okay. Get your thumbs right. Get your thumbs right. Spread your hands out. How many?
432 million.
Huh?
432 million.
No, that ain't right, though. Clear that out. Huh? 72,000. They're going to help you out. She's going to get there. 72,000. That's 72,000 angels that Jesus said could be put at my disposal. Now, Jesus said, "I only say what the Father says, what I hear the Father says, and I only do what I hear, what I see the Father do." Do you think Jesus just randomly picked that number?
No.
So watch this. 72,000. 72,000. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 36. You don't got to go there. I'm going to go there for you. Don't worry. It's all good. Isaiah 37, verse 36. 33, 34, 35, 36. Then the angel, how many angels? No. Listen to the story. Then the angel, how many angels?
One.
Of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. One angel killed 185,000 people, soldiers. One angel, uno angel, for those who speak Spanish. One angel. So Jesus said 12 legions, that's 72,000 angels, right? If one angel can kill, 185,000, let's multiply 72,000 by 185,000. 13,320,000,000. Now watch this. The population of the earth when Jesus was on the earth was about 300 million. That was the population of all people on the earth when Jesus was on the earth. So take 300 million and divide it into 13,332,000,000, whatever that is, and tell me what answer you get. Hang on. Some of y'all got lost in the zeros.
0.02.
Oh, yeah, that ain't it. Okay, so hang on. 13 billion. So type in 13, 1, 3. 332. So 1, 3, 3, 3, 2, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. Hit the divide symbol. Then type in 3,000,000,000,000,000,000,000. 300 million. That's how much? Read that out, buddy.
4.444.
44.44.
Get it this way. How many? Who else? Who said something else?
44.44.
So what Jesus was saying is that my God will put 12 legions of angels at my disposal. What he was saying to his disciples is, you don't have to fight for me. I can dispatch enough angels onto this earth to destroy it 44 times over. I can put enough power on this earth right now, if I desired to and wanted to spare my life, that my Father would in an instant put at my disposal enough angels to destroy this bad boy 44 times over. Just make our earth, destroy it. Make our earth, destroy it. Make our earth, destroy it. Watch this, God. Punt, destroy it. That's the power of angelic supervision over your life. I don't know about you, but that fires me up. Yeah. What that tells me is I know who goes before me, and I know who comes behind. The God of angel armies who could destroy the earth in an instant and would do it because he loves me is always by my side. Stand on your feet. Yeah, you can have it. Do you know what the song means? Are you sure? Some of y'all still trying to get loose of the math. You're like, I'm at school today. That hurt my head, Jesus. Can't divide that many zeros. System shut down. One angel put 185,000 of the enemies of God to death. In the book of Revelations, Satan is locked away by how many angels? Just one. So the individual who's wreaking havoc on you in certain areas of your life gets locked away by one angel, and you command angels. You command angels. If you've been feeling pressure in your life as though you were surrounded, And listen, this is not about any specific ailment. It could be pressure in your body from sickness. It could be pressure in your life because of family issues. It could be pressure because you have a test to take and you're not really ready for it. It could be pressure because you've put some undue pressure on yourself, some self-esteem pressure. It could be whatever pressure you want to put it on. I don't care. It could be good pressure, bad pressure. God intends for you not to feel any pressure except the pressure and the weight of His glory. If you've been dealing with pressure in any instance, on any subject, in anything, I want you up here right now. Just come on. Now, these were the ones that were going to respond to the altar call. Like when I said, open your Bibles to 2 Kings, like they were ready already. Now I'm going to give the altar call to the people who you thinking about whether or not you're going to respond to the altar call, because you might think that you're too good for the altar call. Or you may think, I don't want anybody to know that I'm responding to the altar call. Or you may have some kind of other pride issue or something else, some other blockade that's standing between you and your response. I'm going to give that just a second, because I want you to understand that tonight is not about you getting better. Tonight is about maintaining what God has already obtained. There's no shame in that. I'm not telling you that you've got to obtain your victory or that you've done something terrible and now you got to get back right with God. I'm just saying that if you have felt at any moment over anything that God is for you, but it seems like the armies of the enemy are much more against me and I can't find God in this situation, I'm going to tell you to come on right now. We're going to pause just for you. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. If you let pride get in your way from responding, you know in your gut, like you feel it inside your belly that you ought to be up here and you need to get rid of this stuff. You already feel it. You know that you're supposed to be up here, but you're not up here right now. We're waiting on you. We're waiting on you. I sat in many church services where the altar call was much more severe and just sat and held my seat like I'm not going up there. I ain't gonna deal with it. I'm not going. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. If it's you, you come on. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm willing to hold things up for you. Come on, don't negotiate with the thing anymore. Don't try to work it out. It's not going to solve itself. Come on. Come on. If you've tried everything else, you may as well try this. Come on. Come on. I believe that there's a young man and a young lady that need to come. I believe there's a young man and a young lady, a specific young man and a specific young lady. Thank you for being brave enough to do that. Now I'm waiting on the young lady. Come on, daughter of God. Come on, child of the Most High. Come on, come on, come on. What lies are you going to choose to believe? Come on, waiting on you. I'm willing to pause long enough for you to get up here. I'm not even asking you that you got to believe completely. I'm just telling you that what is surrounding you is afraid of your response. It is afraid of your response. It is afraid of you. And that's the reason the king of Syria sent the military to retrieve one prophet was not because he thought the prophet was going to destroy him. It was because he was afraid of the prophet. Come on. Come on. I will not ask you what your problem is. You won't have to tell me. I will not try to argue with you or legitimize it at this altar. I'll wait. Come on. Praise God. You can make a choice. make a choice to respond later. But God loves you and he wants to demonstrate his love now. For all of you up here, for those of you who are up here, I believe that whatever has been surrounding you is currently being surrounded. It has been surrounded. And the angels that have been surrounding that thing that has been pressuring you was just waiting on your release. It's just waiting on you to say, enough is enough. I've had it. I'm calling on angel armies. Right now, according to my authority as a child of God, I am saying my angels are dispatched now to go and defeat the thing that has been pestering me, bothering me, that has been worrying me, that has been keeping me up at night, that has been robbing me, that has been stealing my joy, the thing that has been hurting me, the thing that has been plaguing me. That thing is dying. Because you have made a decision to release your angels. And so right now, I want you to repeat this. The people up here, I want you to repeat after me. And I want you to say it with authority. I don't want you to say it like, no, you are releasing, you are giving a military command. This is war, and you are maintaining what God has already obtained. The enemy has come onto your ground and sought to steal what is already yours. How angry are you going to get, and with what manner are you going to give the command for God's armies to eradicate what has been plaguing you? So I want you to repeat after me. Right now.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus.
I am in his name.
I have his authority.
And on the authority
that has been given to me by my God,
I command my angels
to go
destroy,
break down,
and kill
the thing that has been surrounding me.
I am surrounded no more.
I break loose and I demand every demon
to take its hands
off God's property.
Now.
It's over.